Good morning and happy Easter to all of you as we continue this Easter season. We began with the assertion, God's love for us is boundless and incomprehensible. The merciful love of the Lord fills the earth. The merciful love of the Lord fills the earth. Do you see it? You know, oftentimes we're so distracted or so drawn to look at the bad news, to what sells on the TVs and so forth, that we miss this most basic revelation of God. The merciful love of the Lord fills the earth. It's good news. He came, he says, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And so we have before us today the image of the Good Shepherd. Again, that's good news. It means that God is caring for us. God is with us. God is on our side. The beautiful words of the 23rd Psalm were part of our response psalm, and I would recommend a meditation on that for you sometime either today or this week if you have the time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Again, God is with me. God is guiding me. God wants me to prosper. God wants me to have what I need in order to prosper, for life to be good. Beside restful waters, he leads me, nurturing me, guiding me. This is what God does for us and what Jesus came to reveal for us and what he came actually to do for us, to nurture us and guide us. He refreshes my soul. And so our first response in prayer has to be thanksgiving. If we remember this, if we are aware of it, if we're not distracted by so many other things in our life that we forget who is it by our side, and who is nurturing us and guiding us, and it gets better. He guides me in right paths. Well, of course, that's only if I follow, right? He guides me only if I'm amenable to his guidance, not if I think I know better. When you stop and think about it, how foolish is that? But how often we do that, huh? He guides me in right paths. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. We know that life always leads us at times through dark valleys, right? Life throws some stuff at us, certainly. Or sometimes we make choices where we end up down in that dark valley, and it's our own fault. But he's still with us. He's always with us. This is good news. We're not to be guided by fear. I fear no evil, because you are at my side. With your rod and your staff that give me courage. You know, the rod and the staff are interesting parts of a shepherd's tools, if you will, because they are in part tools of discipline to keep the sheep in line. And yet that's what gives us comfort if we follow his advice, if we follow his way. But, of course, it's also to fend off the enemy, if you will. I grew up north of town, and on the shores of Terry Lake, we had a small acreage there, and we had cattle and sheep. And so I was a shepherd before I became this kind of shepherd. I've gotten so many miles out of that in sermons and so forth. But it also makes this image so powerful for me. A couple of things about sheep that I learned being a shepherd when I was a boy. One of them, I think that phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, came from sheep. Seems every day we had to go find them on the other side of the fence and bring them back. And oh, the panic when the lamb got on the other side of the fence and couldn't get to mom. Oh, wow. It was a panic throughout the whole flock. So, you know, sheep tend to follow their nose. They follow, they're going after the green grass in front of them, not paying any attention to anything else. And that's why frequently they end up on the other side of the fence or in the dark valley or being the lost sheep of fame. And aren't we sometimes like that ourselves? You know, we follow our nose. We follow what I want, what I'm looking for. And we don't give it attention to where he's leading me and where is going to be the green pasture that gives me life versus the one that imperils my life. The other thing about sheep that was interesting to me, the crook. For us, it was like a broom handle that had a little hook on the end of it, and you'd use that to catch the back leg of sheep or lamb if you needed to doctor them, or if you needed, like we needed to mark with paint the mom and the babies so we'd keep that all straight. But oh, did they resist being taken by that crook. I mean, they would shake you almost half to death trying to get loose, and oftentimes did get loose, in fact. And again, it seems it's a lot like us, isn't it? When the Lord's discipline comes our way, when the Lord is trying to protect us, trying to heal us, trying to nurture us, and we want our own way, we want our independence, we want to go where we want to go, and we don't want to go where we are led. It's not always bad to be led. It's not a real bad image, although at times it does suffer. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Again, the mercy of the Lord fills the earth. It is the dominant force in humankind, is the merciful love of God. And that's why we say, only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. A great promise for us throughout the course of our life. So the image of the Good Shepherd tells us we always have gentle guidance, fierce protection, loving nurturing. There's that bond between ourselves and our God of care and affection and safety that comes to us both because of the care of the shepherd and the discipline he gives, but also because we're a part of the flock. As a herd animal, there is safety in numbers, right? So we gather because that also is part of the way we can find the green pastures and be safe in doing so. He gives us guidance and protection. Again, God's love for us is boundless and incomprehensible. And sometimes then our response is simply to stand in awe of who we are because God chooses to give us life and to be our God and to be our shepherd. So we stand in awe and we stand in gratitude, and it gets even better. In the gospel, this was from Peter. By his wounds you have been healed, for you had gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So what happens when we do sin? What happens when we do stray? What happens when we do find ourselves through our own fault in that dark valley? He's with us. And his only heart is to free us from fear and gently bring us back home. That's God's agenda. He knows me and he seeks me. The Alleluia verse, I know my sheep and mine know me. It brings up that adage, you know, a real friend is someone who knows you and loves you anyway, right? Well, God knows you and loves you anyway. God knows exactly who you are, exactly what you've done, exactly what you're thinking, and he loves you so dearly. And so we are called to seek to know his voice, like a good sheep needs to do. We need to know the voice of the shepherd. And in this world where there's so much noise and so many people telling us where to go and what to do and what's going to give us life and what's going to be happy, give us happiness, there is one voice that we need to tune into, that voice that will guide us to the green pastures, that voice that will give us life and life in abundance. So we follow him, and we seek to follow him, to know him and to love him. The voice of the Good Shepherd, it doesn't end there. Now, here's where the image breaks down a little, because a sheep doesn't become a shepherd right? But a disciple becomes the teacher. A follower becomes a leader. And each of us, because we have heard the voice of the shepherd, we are here. And in that calling, there is a call to become a shepherd ourselves. So the image continues to guide us as it teaches us. We, the church, carry on today the work of Christ, which means we are called to shepherd God's people. The work of the church is to be shepherd. The work of each individual believer is to be shepherd. And we can use this to evaluate how we are not only following him, but serving him in our life as well. We become the shepherd, which means we take risks. A shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, right? Well, we're probably not going to be called to lay down our life. But we might have to forego some comfort for the sake of others. We might have to forego some of what we have so that others may have simply life itself. We are not just Easter people. We are Paschal mystery people. That is to say, every Easter also included Good Friday. It is the dying that gives life. And we are called as shepherds to be willing to lay down our life for our brothers and sisters. Our job is to nurture. Our job is to guide, to protect, to know his voice so that we can be his voice, so that others can hear his voice, especially the cry of the poor, to walk with them. Here, Pope Francis's famous image that a good shepherd must smell like his sheep. Well, that applies by his teaching to the priests and bishops, but it applies to every one of us, right? We're all called to smell like the sheep, to ease their fear. There's so much that people are afraid of, and guiding them in their life, let's ease their fear. To reveal to them, through our life and through our love and through our care, the Good Shepherd, who is the Son of God, who came to guide us and protect us and nurture us and give us, as he says, life to the fullness. And then they will know for certain that the merciful love of the Lord fills the earth.